Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
I want to kick off the message with this statement, that Jesus didn't die on the cross for us to live a life where we struggle. That's not the intent. And I think there's so many people, especially Christians, who struggle through life, who deal with things and continue to deal with things and people and the whole nine yards. And what happens, a lot of it's based on doubt, a lot of it's based on your the image you have of yourself. You know, your identity has to be in who God's made you to be and not in who you used to be or who people think that you are. But this faith life that we live, the walk that we have and the what we go through. And you know, there's tests and there's trials and there's tribulations, there's triumphs that happen, but there's also temptations. And this life of faith, this walk of faith, isn't designed to be a hard life. It's not. So if you are, listen, if you're living a hard life, just pay attention for about 20 minutes. I mean, this is gonna be clear, it's gonna be concise. You know, I think a lot of people, and I've been accused of kind of being like, oh, well, I heard you're like an in-your-face preacher. And man, I guess sometimes I am, but more so, I believe the Word of God is designed to be delivered and communicated directly. That if there's not much subtle about it, I mean, it's direct, and it's so much so that the Bible describes God's word as living and powerful. And now listen, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. See, it's able to separate, listen, our soul and our spirit, how we think and what we deal with, even our bone and our marrow, and it's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. You wonder why you think the way you think. You wonder why you have an attitude the way you have it. I'll tell you, God's word reveals that to you. But see, we have to consume it. I believe that, you know, the Bible says that one day in his house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. You know, and you think about that and you think, okay, what does that really mean? Because Psalm 92:13 says that those who are planted or transplanted in the house of the Lord, in the local church, will flourish. Man, flourish in life. See, that's the intent of God. And we look at it, is it a pipe dream or is it a fairy tale? No, it's life to those who find it. It's health to all their flesh. See, and it's got to be a convincing argument, so it's got to be direct. You know, 2 Timothy, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, look, God hasn't given, and here Timothy is pastoring what theologians will say, a church of over 30,000 people, okay? And he's a young man, and he's dealing with this. And Paul writes to him, and he says, listen, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. See, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. Listen, power being, you have power over the enemy. Love is that God's given you a love. Now listen, God's given you a spirit that you can love people. So you know what? You might have a mindset that you don't like people. You don't want to be around people. There's unlovely people. Well, the spirit of God on the inside of you, the spirit God's given you, it enables you to love the unlovely. But then he says this, look, power, love, and a sound mind. You have power over the enemy. You have a love for people. And you know what? Man, you could be decisive. You could be disciplined. You can have a sound mind. You can actually control your thought life. Why? For the spirit of God that's on the inside of you. A sound, disciplined mind is what God gives you. But see, we live under this deception. And let me just tell you, the enemy doesn't use deception that isn't factual. And this is, I think, a major point that people miss. See, what the devil's gonna do and how the devil, the only authority that he can give us is when we punctuate the facts of our life and focus on them. See, what I'll do with my life and what I have a tendency to do is I'll focus on the negatives that are in my life. I'll focus on my weaknesses. So you know what, if I'm focusing on the negatives, man, everything else, it doesn't matter. And then the next thing you know, man, life is just going to the dumps. Life's just going and you're thinking, wait a second. No, wait, God's given me a sound mind. I can think differently than this. See, so we look at our lives and we begin to, examine the work that God's doing in our life. Man, if I'm only thinking of the negatives, I'm gonna miss out on the work God's doing. And let me just tell you something. Bill Scheer standing in front of you in August of 2016, God's doing a great work in my life. I'm just thanking the work, thankful, so thankful. And do I have weaknesses? 100%. But let me just tell you, the promise of God is in my weakness is made his perfect strength. Paul went so far as to say, I'd rather be weak. Man, why? Because he had revelation of the power of God. See, when the Spirit of God comes into our life, it's not just this traumatic experience where it's like, oh my gosh, I felt all fluttery and man, I was buzzing on the inside. The Spirit of God filled me with his Spirit. No, when he fills us with his Spirit, Jesus promised in Acts the first chapter, he promised that power would come upon you. Wonder work, look, a dynamic power would come upon our lives. Listen, power over sin, power over disease, power over unforgiveness. You know those people you couldn't forgive? You can now. Why? There's a power to forgive on the inside of you. See, forgiveness is amazing. It's one of the most powerful things on the planet. Man, what Jesus said is he said, look, have the faith of God constantly. And when you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in your heart, you'll have whatever you say. You'll have whatever you say. But if you don't forgive, it's all for nothing. You've got to forgive anybody and everybody of everything. And you're like, I can't do it. No, you're right. You can't. You're weak there. But in your weakness is made his perfect strength. Why? Because God, me forgiving a person for a dirty look, me forgiving a person for cutting me off on the road, me forgiving a person that's done something to one of my friends or my family, man, me forgiving, it's impossible for me to do except look at the forgiveness I've received in my life. There's a wholesale forgiveness that God's done in my life. I know me, sin riddled, man, just consumed with sin. But then Jesus came into my life and somehow I made this profession of faith. God, I make Jesus the Lord of my life. And you know what happened? All my sins were forgiven and remitted. See, that's the bottom line with this is. See, we remember the things, but God doesn't. But the Bible says God throws them in the sea of forgetfulness. Man, there might be somebody in your life that you have to forgive. And you know what? God, help me forgive. God, help me forgive this guy because I know what you've forgiven me of. And God, I want to walk in your forgiveness. Listen, if you're forgiven, listen, truly, if you're truly forgiven of God, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Nothing in your life that the enemy can throw at you could stick. See, I'm just telling you, if there's somebody in a marriage, if there's something you need to forgive, I'm telling you, forgive it. Man, don't go through the math of do they deserve it? Have they earned it? Man, you know what? You may not be able to trust them in that area for a while, but you can forgive them. Why? Because God's forgiven you. See, why? Because our faith changes things. Man, our faith is strong. Everybody say, my faith is strong. It changes things. It breaks power. It moves mountains. My faith is strong. It changes things. It breaks power. It moves mountains. Let's all say it together. My faith changes things. It breaks power. It moves mountains. See, you got to change the atmosphere of your life. Man, instead of just dwelling on your problems and dwelling on your issues, the Bible doesn't say dwell on your mountain. Figure that mountain out. It just says speak to it. You got to stand up to it. See, Christianity is not some laid back. Passive. I thought of some other descriptive terms that I'm not using right now. Laid back, passive religion. It's not. It's powerful. We're the most powerful people on the planet. See, we can look at ourselves as Americans and we're proud to be Americans and, you know, all the swimmers and all the runners and all the gymnasts makes us proud. Man, we're just proud to be Americans. It's like, great, I'm proud. I love America. Man, we're... But wait a second. I've got to vote. This republic we live in, I get to vote. I have a voice, right? I vote and I have a voice, and man, I'm gonna cast my vote. I'm gonna express my voice. And then the devil says, yeah, you and millions of other people. We're like, yeah, that's right. I am pretty insignificant in this whole process in America. That's not how the kingdom is. I said, that's not how the kingdom is. Man, this isn't a path, but you know, we've got to receive correction in our life, that the voice we have in the kingdom is stronger than any voice on the planet. You know why? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. It may be a young voice, it may be a girl voice, it may be a boy voice, it may be an old guy voice, but let me just tell you, when you speak, let the spirit realm, all demons, all angels alike. The Bible says the demons take notice and flee. The Bible says that angels take notice and incline their ear, because it's even confusing to them a little bit, that here's a man, flesh and blood, with hair and glasses and clothes, that when I speak God's word to them, it sounds just like God. So you know what? They inquire, they come in. This place is full of angelic hosts right now. You know why? Because the word's here. You want to bring an angelic presence into your home? You just speak the word. You proclaim the word. Guess what happens? Demons flee. You know what else happens? It attracts angels. And there's angelic hosts. And God uses those angels, listen, to perform his word, to bring things to pass. See, and we have to understand, they're just messengers from God. Man, they work in our behalf. That's why the Bible says that we're above the angels. Why? Because we can proclaim God's promise. But the Bible says this, it's in season and out of season. See, there's times where you'll think, well, man, I'm so down. Man, I'm so disappointed. That's none of that. You find somewhere in the word where God brings you down. You find somewhere in the word where God disappoints you. So if it's not God, it's coming from somewhere else. And let me just tell you, disappointment and depression, you being down, does not come from indigestion. It's the father of lies. It's the deceiver of the brethren. It's the accuser of the brethren. See, there's accusations that hit you and you're like, oh my gosh, what if I, man, I feel so ashamed. I'm just, man, I was so part of this. And see, the bottom line is this, we've got to become active in our faith and express it and proclaim it. Otherwise, you know what? We're just gonna be weak putty. We're just gonna be weak sauce. Why? Because in Matthew, Jesus said, for by your words you're condemned. By your words you're justified. By your words. See, it's interesting because you might say, well, I feel like you've condemned me. Man can't condemn you. And because of Jesus, God won't condemn you. Are you guys listening? Man, I'm telling you, this is hope-filled. Your words, by your words, you're justified. Do you understand that by grace through faith, you're righteous? And by your words, you're justified. See, so I believe, therefore I'm righteous. You know what? You could sit here today, right where you are, and be righteous and justified before God. And I'm telling you, and forgiven. This is crazy. We're redeemed. We're restored. We're justified. We're totally set free. Why? Because the Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And you know what? I'll get up here and say, hey, how many of you guys have a past? Let's all talk about our past. Let's all bring up our past. Let's all list everything we've ever done in our past. Do you understand God will never do that? Do you understand that's working out? That's us working the arm of the flesh. And when we get the arm of the flesh, guess what? The enemy can slip in. That opens a door, us being using the arm of the flesh. The enemy can slip in and disillusion us. See, we've got to understand that. Man, we've got to be the men and women that God trusts with the most powerful thing on the planet, and that's his promise. Why? Because you know what? His promise is blood-soaked. It's the blood of Jesus, the cleansing blood of Jesus, the delivering blood of Jesus, the blood, listen, that causes the Passover to be alive in our lives. It's not just something that we put on the doorpost of our homes. Our hearts are drenched with the blood of Jesus now. Our lives are consumed. There's a baptism in it. And see, we have to look at it. We have to understand, now, wait a second. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Why? Because of the cleansing blood of Jesus. Man, God's given me a sound mind. God's given me the mind of Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be right or equal or in right standing with God. See, you're righteous. You believe it by faith. But it's through grace. It's through his power. See, none of this is anything we've done. Man, I'm thinking back at June of 1979 that I picked Jesus, that I got a gold star in my chore chart. You know what? The Bible's real clear. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Do you understand? You're sitting here today because of purpose that's in your life. And you know what the enemy's going to do? The enemy's going to say, well, but there's no single guys in this church for you. Everybody else has picked them. Man, they've already been picked clean. Man, there's nobody here in this church for me to marry. You know, I've been here for 5 years, and man, I've seen them all. And man, there hadn't been that love connection. I need some love. No, let me just help you. You guard your heart with all diligence. You guard your heart. That, listen, you looking for love outside God's house is not you guarding your heart. I'm just telling you, man, love, hold it. That brings God into the mix. That brings God into the picture. You want to marry the wrong person, you go looking for love. I'm just telling you. You know why? You know why divorce is 50-50? You're bad pickers. It's pretty simple. Man, I'm telling you, you trust God. You hear his voice. You're led by his spirit. You know what that's going to give you? A great job. That's going to give you promotion. That's going to give you income. There's so many people that trust their resources. I've had so many people, friends in my life, man, had more money than they knew what to do with, and they trusted that resource. Man, you can't trust your resource. Let me tell you, man, there's people that have bank accounts full of money that are starving through life. See, we don't want to be those people. We trust God. We put God first. You trust your resources, that means you got a love of money. And you know what that does? That puts a root in your life for all kinds of evil. But see, the Bible says that we're planted, we're transplanted in God's house, in God's way of doing things. And then we flourish. See, that's my dream. My end goal is for everyone who comes in these doors, everyone who watches in the internet, everyone in Sepulpa, everyone in Skytook, to flourish in this life. Man, to live in his courts and flourish in those courts. Man, to understand the dominion that God's given you to live in. Do you understand? Greater is he who's in you. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. But you know what the enemy's going to do? The enemy's going to bring facts into the equation, and we're going to see it. And you know what? We start putting our trust in those facts. The enemy's going to see our trust, our misguided trust. It goes from the truth of God's word to the facts of our situation. And you know what he's going to do? He is going to come rapid fire, taking aim at every bit of that. I'm telling you, the issues of your life are factual. But guess what? They're subject to change, which is the root definition of a lie. See, so now, can the truth of God's word change? No, it never will. Can your facts change? Absolutely. Every one of them can. And you know what? What the enemy's meant for bad, God will turn it to good. I said, God will turn it to good. I said, every good and perfect gift comes from above. What the enemy means for bad, God will turn it to good. So that means everything that hits my life, good, bad, or indifferent, is going to be good when it hits my life. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus that makes me right with God. See, you understand, I'm forgiven. I'm righteous. I'm justified. Nothing else matters. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world. You know what I believe in God for? I believe in God for revival. So you know what God's going to do? God's going to set a stage across our city, across our country, across the world, where people need Jesus, where he becomes the only hope. Our hope's not in who gets elected. Our hope's not in our government. Our hope is in him. Because I'll tell you what, who gets elected, our government, they're all going to disappoint. And you know what? There's people, if you listen to all the prognosticators, you listen to all the commentators, if they're not saying Jesus, if they're not saying Jehovah God, if they're not quoting and proclaiming God's word, it's all their opinion. It all lands flat. And let me tell you, I don't want things sown into my life that are going to lay waste to everything God's doing. You can mix nothing in your life. Mix nothing in your life regarding God's word except for faith. Trust in God. I'm not gonna mix opinion. I'm not gonna mix my education, my intellect. Man, if somebody comes and says, yeah, you know what? It was God's will that baby die. It was God's will that guy die. It was God's will that car accident. It was God's will. Okay, listen. I'm all about God's will. Anybody else in here? Anybody else in here about God's will? Show me in the word where God takes babies. Show me in the word where God causes car accidents. Show me in the word where calamity. No, you know what? God's a deliverer of that stuff. See, I'm telling you, we live in a fallen, broken world. If we're counting on anything that originated from the world, we're cooked. So you know what we got to do? Keep our eyes on him. You know what we got to do? We got to keep God's word in front of our face. One day in his house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. One day. You sitting in here right now is better than being anywhere on the planet. See, that's the understanding. You got to be planted. You got to be transplanted. How do you do that? You do that by coming, and you do that by getting involved. There's people who say, well, why do they want me to serve? Why do they want to? Wait, it gets your mind off of their issues. I guarantee you, those people that filled 1,000 backpacks yesterday in under 30 minutes weren't thinking about their problems. They weren't thinking about their issues. They're praying and they're believing God that every one of those kids, man, they put that backpack on and they're like, I'm somebody, I'm something. Where'd you get that backpack? I got that backpack from church. God gave me this backpack. And they're saying, man, that's goofy. Yeah, I know. God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You watch how my school year is. I'm carrying this backpack. You know why? You know why? God gave it to me. And you'll say, no, the church did. People did. God uses the church and God uses people. You hear me? Man, God's, what's God gonna do outside of what we faithfully deliver? But see, if it emanates anything, so one day in his house, you think about one day in the world, one day where you're not in God's word, one day when you're not in prayer, one day when you don't have your eyes on him, one day it sucks life out of you. It sucks that power out of you. Man, how many times has that happened for us, Eric? Man, I'm going through it. Man, I get this done. Man, Eric's one of the smartest guys I know. Man, he's got a strategic mind. But guess what? He's got to drench that in God's promise. He's got to baptize that. He's got to convert that to God's power. Otherwise, he's got to let it sit. Man, you don't need my attributes. And see, I heard somebody say just recently, you know the names of God? Those aren't really him. Those are his attributes. Please. Those are who he is. And who he is what he does. It's what you can count on. They are not just expressions of him, are attributes of him. Do you understand? It's like people that will come to you and they'll say, let me tell you, the reason we lay hands on the sick and they recover is because it's a point of contact. If you're thinking it's a point of contact, then there's a division. There's a separation between you and God's power. Let me tell you why my hands have healing in them, because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. You hear me? You get sick, you want somebody's hands like this on you. You want somebody saying, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for health and recovery in this man, in Jesus' name. Now, guess what happens? Any demonic activity in his life, not just sickness and disease, any demonic activity is running for cover right now. The demons, the devil, doesn't want to mess with the name of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus went to hell, and he defeated the devil, and he took the keys to death and the grave. Okay? But then he stopped. He had those keys. He had why he went. He won. And he stopped. He's like, this isn't enough. Because he knew the devil would be messing with you. He said, hey, give me your armor. So you're thinking, man, the devil's got power. The only power the devil has is the power you let him have. But guess what? He has no defense. Write that down. The devil has no defense to the name of Jesus because Jesus took his armor. He took his armor, and the Bible says that he made a public display of him in hell. Openly, he displayed a naked, defeated foe. He's defeated with no power left. He is powerless. He has no dominion unless you get, guess what? And everything in the kingdom operates by delegated authority. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? They come and they knock on the door and they said, who comes here? And they said, we're the sons of Sceva. We come in, listen. We come in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. You know what those demons said? Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who the heck are you? I think that's most of church today. We've got to live this one day in his house. One day, concentrating on God, putting your focus on God. Man, looking at the work that God's doing, has done in your life. It's better than 1,000 elsewhere. God's doing a great work in your life. God's hands on your life. Man, God came into your life, and the Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always going to be present, and he's always going to be powerful. I said he's always going to be present, and he's always going to be powerful. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be present. He will always be powerful. And guess what God wants to do? God wants to show off his power. God, listen, God's looking for you to pick a fight with every one of your adversaries. Man, you see Taylor talked about his mortgage. God, we're believing to pay this off in the next 2 years, and we're going to commit this much to the capital campaign. And you guys are going, and people, and let me just tell you, man, there's haters. Yeah, but your situation's different than mine. Everybody look at me, because I have a response. Everyone look at me and say, but your situation's different than mine. Go ahead, say it. But my God's the same God as yours. And the power working in you is the same power working in me. It's just who accesses that power. It's not a dream. You're not gonna wake up. You are up. But listen, we can't be passive. We can't look and say, well, I don't wanna mess with the devil. I don't want the devil coming after me. I know one thing for sure. The devil comes after me every single day. And I'm like, okay, come on, let's go. I lose. If I say, hey, God, I know you got this. I submit myself to the Lordship of Jesus. Oh, devil, did you hear that? I said Jesus. I said Jesus the same yesterday. Remember yesterday, devil? You're laying prostate in hell, in the core of hell. Remember? Oh, you don't have that good of memory, devil. You got your behind whipped. Remember those keys? You gave them to you offered them to Jesus so that he would get off of you. You gave him the keys. Listen, the keys to death in the grave. The ultimate victory is death over death. Jesus won the ultimate victory. Jesus finished him off, Matt, and he's walking away, and he's thinking, you know what? You're going to come back and mess with Matt. Give me your armor. The Bible says all of hell shook. It's like, wait a second, that's not what we're fighting over. You're taking, listen. You're taking more than you came for. Because now he deals with us. He's gonna give us more than we came for. See, that's who he is. He's the God, he's the Savior of more than enough. Give me your armor. So now you are fighting the devil who's laying prostrate on the floor, naked, beaten, no fight left in him, no power left in him, no leverage, nothing to hold over your head. He's got nothing. So what's he going to do? He's going to lie. He sees what you've done in your past. He's going to hope the word that you've received hasn't taken root in your heart. He's going to hope he can hit you and hit you and hit you, and you'll take one day where you won't put a guard on your heart. He sees that opening, and boom, he's going to hit it. Why? He's seeking whom he may devour. He's like a lion with no claws and no teeth. All he can do is gum you. That's all he can do. He's got that gooey lion mouth stuff on you. You're like, I got to go cleanse myself with the word. I've got to go get this off me. You want to get the devil off you? You just do stuff like this. Watch. Any guys want to get the devil off you? Anybody in here want to get the devil off you? God, I thank you that greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. God, I thank you that I was called according to a purpose. God, I thank you that your hand's on my life and it'll never come off my life. Nothing can snatch me out of your hands, God. God, I thank you that greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. God, I thank you that I've received the Holy Spirit, therefore I've received your power to be your witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. There is no limit to the power you put in me, God.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.